The laughter of the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
And I will tell you that they didn't confront God and say, God, it is vain to serve you. Let's go. And what prophet is it that he has kept his ordinance? These are people of covenant. But they were getting tired. They were weary. And what brought them into this situation of lethargy was the environment. Things happening around. And that we have, he said, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now, we call the proud happy. They are the one ruling us. They are the one buying the cars, buying the houses. Yeah, they that walk wickedness, they are set up. When we are trying to find money to do this kind of an apostolic work, some people are using it to party in Paris. They just get a boat. And they invite girls from everywhere to come and lavish. And we are working mournfully. In fact, when we fast, we hardly get something pleasant to break. Yay! It's now say, yay! They that tempt God are even delivered. We get them on interviews, they say, well, what about religion? Religion is just, it's a pinch of salt. And they take prime positions in our society. And verse 6, and verse 16. But we will choose to be this category of people. But they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. I don't know the content of their word, but I believe it was encouragement. They speak often one to another. And the Lord had them. Now hear me. The first set of people that spoke to, they were not speaking directly to God. But God had them. And he said, your word has been stout against me. So sometimes our voice is even the position of our hearts. And our discourse and conversations. And you remember that so many people perish in the wilderness just because of murmuring. They couldn't get to the promised land. We need to get our feet up. We need to encourage ourselves. One of the big essence of our koinonia, of fellowship, of our sharing, is to make sure that everybody is strengthened. We strengthen the hands that hang down and the knees that are feeble. We encourage one another. The Lord had them. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. So some of these things were the interpretation of their thoughts too. And verse 17, and they shall be mine, fear the Lord of hosts. They shall be mine. Because we are talking about Zion, which is the place of God's affection, which is God's dwelling. In chapter 87, verse 2, it said he loves the gates of Zion more than all the habits of Jacob. Zion, one of the ways of defining Zion prophetically is a place of God's affection. Zion is what? It's a place of God's affection. So Zion will be you. If somebody prophesies Zion, it's you. Zion is the church. Zion is God's focal point of interest. Amen. Glory to God. And he said, they shall be mine. So this is an expression of Zion. The people that fear the Lord, he said, they shall be mine, fear the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, my precious possession. And one of the attitudes that will make us part of his precious possession is our conversation. We won't take positions with them that are bitter, that accuse God of child neglect. Won't take position. Because God will give us light so that we will see in all of the events around us, we can still see God. We can still see the position of God in all of the events around us. And we are not worried about, you know, religion is just about your personal gratification. You know, some of those emotional songs are just making you go into pity party. And some of them emanate from the processes in our mind that is making us feel that God has not done enough. But we are going to change our conversation. Help me tell someone who will change our conversation. We are the people that fear the Lord. And we engage each other in the word of the Lord. I have been praying for an awakening, a revival. And it is the revival of the word of the Lord. I'm not talking about teaching, knowledge. I'm talking about the word of the Lord. That comes with the breath of God. That you know that the word of the Lord is with you. I'm not just talking about religious ordinances alone. I'm talking about the word of the Lord, where people can have the word of the Lord. And trusting God that people can say, yes, the Lord spoke to me. And they are very certain. They are not confused about it. I'm looking forward to such a revival where we can be in company of each other and there is nothing that passes us that the word of the Lord does not capture. That goes around the head that the word of the Lord does not capture. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, back to our team. I want us to trace Zion a bit this morning so that we can see the composition, like Pastor said earlier, the material and the spiritual Zion. The material Zion actually describes ultimately the purposes of God in the earth, which is establishing his kingdom in the earth through government. So he established a nation to describe it. He established a nation to describe it. However, the ultimate fulfillment of the purposes of God in Zion is not going to be an exact expression of that form that material Zion took. Because the material Zion was so physically motivated. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, where did the expression Zion, where did it start from? It started from conquest. It started from dominance. It started from dominion. In fact, when God established the nation Israel, he actually made them a nation that will subdue other nations. That's their nature. They were not a people that were given a virgin land. They were a people that went to uproot established nations. So they reflect dominion in all ramification. And that's why it was difficult for them to expect a savior that will not have physical power, military power. So they have been adjusted to believe that the Messiah was coming to bring about a military move that will conquer the whole world. So they didn't understand the language of the spiritual Zion. However, when the Savior, which is Christ Jesus, came, he came to describe to them the kingdom, because the kingdom they were used to was not a direct expression of what the kingdom of God will be. But so bad, they could not find him as the Messiah. Because by the virtue of the processes they've been through, all they understood was expression of military powers. Everyone that God has raised among them has the capacity of bringing deliverance through troops. That was their history. And there was a sharp departure. So it was difficult. Even the disciples that followed Jesus, they were not still sure that he would not come back and restore the kingdom back to Israel through a military process. And Jesus already set the process in motion. So he said, it is not of you to know what time God has in his power for such an event, but you will receive power. The kind of power I'm giving you is different from the power you are used to. The kind of conquest you will be coming into is different from the kind of conquest you are used to. And if we are not careful, because we still live in this dimension, we still sometimes feel that there is so much of our conquest in the external. No! That so much of our influence is external. That the big deal, the kingdom is within you. The real deal that we are going to execute is going to come first from the inside. In building a new nature and expressing it, therein lies our dominion. And if you saw the Christ Jesus who came and started preaching the kingdom, it was easy to doubt if he was the Messiah. Because he was not so much building some territorial, physical, military power with which he was going to conquer the world and bring them under the dominion of. That's why I say today, they are still expecting. They are still expecting the Messiah. They cannot see it. Amen. So, but for us who are here, we will have to understand that God's interest is not just an expression of physical dominion by military powers. Okay. At the beginning, when David, who established Jerusalem, Zion, was going to take that portion of the Jebusite, you know, David became a standard of governance, of government. So, prophetically, David is a description of government in the kingdom. Everything he did became a monument. His throne became a monument, which is Zion. Even the nature of his covenant became a monument, an everlasting covenant, the sure message of David. Even the tabernacle. The tabernacle that emanated from his own natural mind concept. Naturally spiritual mind. You see, let me say this. Some of us think our spirituality has to do with being ecstatic and being, please give me that word I'm looking for. Spontaneous, well, yeah, but I'm still looking for a critical word. Being spectacular, out of this world. I will show you certain things from the scripture. David, Moses became a standard more than, David became a standard more than Moses. Who should be the standard? Moses could stay and write these old volumes of Abraham and everybody. But it was not a standard of government. In fact, the weight of the prophetic ministry of Moses, you cannot match. Because Moses had measure of incubus inside everything. He became an architect under the college of Mount Sinai and God himself. You don't understand. They started giving him measurements on the mountain. Some of you, that's what you call the prophetic. So that's when you are beginning to see. You say, I just saw a line and he drew it. Then I saw another line. He drew 25. Then when we got to this house, we now saw the size. Truly, this is 10. This is 10. So I say, yepa. This man is so accurate. The fact that you are spectacular doesn't really mean you are spiritual. It's not the ultimate spirituality. I'm comparing the tabernacle that Moses built. It was with serious precision. He said, take wood of shittim, overlaid with gold. Take this, take that. You must do it according to what? To pattern. And he got very pictorial revelations of everything. But when David was going to build, how did he receive it? It was just a concern. He just knew what to do. He didn't fly to a mountain. Yes, he was still prophetic. An angel didn't come to talk to David, though. I said, Oh, David, writest thou not these things? He just knew. He said, why should I dwell in the house of Cedar? You know, this thing he's talking about is something that you don't joke with. David just knew what to do. David was the one that realized that it is out of place for the Ark of Covenant to have been out of Israel for about 100 years. And he's still king. It wasn't that an angel came to meet him and said, oh, David, where is the Ark of the Covenant? And he wakes up and says, and I heard the Lord say, the Ark of the Covenant has been taken. He just knew. Oh, that's some New Testament prophetic dimension. And it's so weighty. And it has validation from heaven. This dimension of the prophetic is what we are talking about when we say, you have the mind of Christ. You have a mind that can pick things. One woman just said, I need to break an expensive oil. And he was doing a prophetic act. It wasn't that he had a whisper from an angel. Some of you feel until you hear an angel now, you are not operating the supernatural. You are not interacting with this. Spiritual. He broke the oil, and when he poured it, heaven marked it. That this guy just validates the moment. Validates heaven's moment. There is nowhere the gospel will preach that she will not be mentioned. Because she was preparing the body of Jesus. Those who are students of the Bible said the oil should have been sold. They couldn't reason. Their reasoning could not interject the ways of God. You see, what is the prophetic? Bringing heaven's perspective to earthly events. Whichever way. Whether by the functioning of your mind or by the opening of your eyes to see the spectacular. what God wants to accomplish is to see His will done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the only way we can foster the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. So I just try to compare David to Moses. I'm sure everybody would prefer a Moses. In all, you see, the generation of Moses is so hard. If Moses is the meekest man on earth in his generation, then it is a stubborn generation. He was, the spectacular don't really bring a renewed mind that way. Just experiences. I had an experience. But where God is going is where you are going to come to internal reformations, where you'll be totally wired up to align accurately with God. That's where God is going. Where your thoughts will function as God's thoughts. Amen. Why did I say the meekest man on earth in that generation? Pastor, imagine, I was trying to imagine that a man stayed on the mountain with God. I'm not talking about our mountain here. Anybody can stay on these mountains. That I'm talking about the mountains that you ask people to come. When they were approaching, they saw the things there. Ah, they said, oh God, go. When you are done, come and tell us. This thing we are seeing, it's meant for you. And the guy said, under such atmosphere. I'm not talking about atmosphere of the spirit. Oh, I just passed it. The one that you can see from afar. You know, man is so beautiful. Man is the only creature that has the capacity to operate the spiritual with the natural. I love the saying of someone, I've forgotten who said it. He said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. But he forgot to also say that we are human beings having spiritual experience. Vice versa. It's so unique. Man is so unique. That capacity to bring the spiritual here. And in the day of Moses, he was inside the fire. Me, I thought the day he was coming from the fire, he would have been like God. And immediately he was coming from that mountain, I saw the people doing something and say, I want my dear with you. Then his anger rose. Everything he labored to have, he broke it down. So I say, does this spectacular thing really change people? He broke it. He carried it and broke it. Bam! After the anger, I'm sure he said to God, God, I broke it. But here I was. And of course, he was able to set the tabernacle, but the modification of David was not taken to any sinner. He was not in any cloud. He was not with any angel talking into his ears. But it was a profound prophet. Have you ever studied the prophetic ministry of David? Profound. There was nothing he did not describe. And he took the processes of God from one dimension to another. He could inquire of the Lord. I say, and the Bible says David inquired of the Lord. So he operated priesthood in the new order. He described prophecies in the new order. He described government in the new order. And the interesting part that I wanted us to quickly look at is when he was going to take the land of the Jebusites that became Jerusalem, the place that became Zion today, he advanced his course. And while he was going to enter, I think 1 Samuel chapter number 5, right? Or 2nd? 1st or 2nd Samuel chapter number 5. The 2nd Samuel chapter number 5. You look at it, when he was going to enter the land of the Jebus. I didn't put I because I don't know. When he was entering that land, the land said something that was very significant. They said, "Don't worry. The blind and the lame of the Jebusites, they will resist him and he will not enter." Some people feel they were despising David. No. The strongest military power is the one that you can underrate and ignore. I'm talking spiritual warfare now. He said, the blind and the lame, they will push him away. And so, David fought the blind and the lame like he was fighting Goliath. And there's a lot of wisdom for us to catch there. Because we'll come to Edom, we'll come to Esau. The most dangerous enemy of the move of God are the things you can condone, the things you can pity, the things you can ignore, the things you can accommodate. They don't scare you out the face like witchcraft. If you allow them to stay, they will eventually destroy you. The things you can condone, the things you can overlook. How many of you know the most dangerous thing about Esau? It's not in the covenant, but it came from the same womb. It can be accommodated. It can be pitied. But it's dangerous. It's every other enemy of Israel were either distant cousins or brother. Ishmael was actually a brother from another mother. But Esau is dangerous. You know why Esau is dangerous? He has your blood. He's from the same womb. If you don't separate with Esau, the future will be locked down. The most dangerous thing with believers are things that are with us, like the blind. You don't necessarily know when blind spirits have entered you. You may not really know. Or neither will you really know when you have become immobile, the lame. When you cannot advance your course in the will of God again, you may not really know. Because you just settled. Somebody says settled. You became lethargic, you became complacent. You have done enough. In fact, you have known so much that you have become crippled. And these are things we can easily overlook. When David was going to take the stronghold of Zion. When he was going to take the land from the Jebusites, they said, here, the military power, they are the blind and the lame. And these two things are so dangerous to destiny. Sight and mobility. They say, with time you'll be grounded. With time you'll lose visibility. Alright? But David took the, David slew them like he was going to slay a Goliath. May the Lord open our eyes. What am I trying to drive at? There are things that we can easily overlook, but they are the real troubles. There are things that we share the same womb with, and they will be the only source that will stop us if we don't stop them. That's so familiar. We can accommodate them. But they are enemies. Somebody say they are enemies. Hallelujah. They are enemies. Glory to God. So, in the first mention of Zion, he took the stronghold of Zion by taking over the place from the Jebus, and he established the capital of Israel there. And he established his throne there. He established government there. So, Zion is a description of government. It was the place where the throne was established. In fact, it was a fortress. The real real meaning in Hebrew of Zion is fortification. It's a place of the peak of Israel's strength. But you see, the story side is that the material Zion didn't understand that what it was describing physically has a different expression in the spirit. For example, in the physical, when you are grown and you have beards, you are now matured. That time, you become independent. But that man in the spirit, when you look at him in the spirit, if he must be matured, he becomes a baby, and he will now be dependent. Can you see the sharp contrast? In the natural, when you are matured, you have every physical features. They leave you to drive a car. You do everything by yourself. You are not guided to do things so much again. But in the spirit, when you are matured, you become a babe. Like Jesus told Peter, he said, when you were young, that was physical expression, you went whithersoever. But now that you are old, you will need a man to take you by the hand and lead you. David also described that when he was talking, when he was writing in Psalms chapter number 8, he said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, you have what? You've ordained strength that you may steal the avenger. The babes don't fight the avenger. He just described stature in the spirit. Stature in the spirit makes you dependent when you are matured and you are fully grown, but it's opposite in the physical. And so, most of the time, when we want to interpret spiritual things, we must depend on the Spirit of God to help us so that we don't miss it like Israel did. Like I was trying to tell us yesterday, that even our vulnerability, our nature of vulnerability is intentional. So that the more vulnerable we look, the more dependent we are. So we glory in our weakness. Because we know that his strength, not our strength, is what we are using. For his strength is perfected in our weakness. Whenever God shows you your weakness, it's because he wants you to draw strength. That's why he that thinketh he stand, let him take it. If you feel infallible, you have already fallen. It means you are on the ground. If you feel infallible, you are on the ground. But when you want to wield strength in the things of the Spirit, on a daily basis, you say, Lord, I depend on you all the way. I can do nothing on my own. And that's why we began to investigate the nature of saviors yesterday. And so we took the first savior, which is Jesus Christ. And we said the stature of savior is sonship. So we began to investigate sonship yesterday. So we saw what was seen in Jesus that made him a son. So we saw that he was a man that was totally dependent on the Father. He could do nothing with the Father. And that was his sense. That was what initiated his sense of intimacy with the Father. Because he knew he could not do anything on his own. All the way, he said, whatever I see the Father do, that is what I do. He said, I can of myself do nothing. This is what I do, I hear, and I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I seek not my will. But what? But the will of him that hath sent me. Amen. So, it is in this order that God wants to bring his government and dominion to the earth. It is in raising people of such stature. This is the description of the saviors that we are talking about in Zion. They are a people that knows the Father. They are a people that what? That knows the Father. And the scripture says, they will judge the mount of what? The mount of Esau. Now, we have been trying to describe the mount of Esau. I thank God for the way God has helped us, especially through the ministry of Pastor Velo. Now, I need us to understand. Now, the word judge there, I was trying to start from the original translation. It's actually govern. It's govern. And inside government. Now, the word judgment is not just punishment. Punishment is inclusive. Okay, part of the expression of judgment is what? Punishment. Part of the expression of judgment is scrutiny. It's the ability to discern. Alright? Now, part of the expression of judgment is also rule. Rulership. So God is actually bringing up a people that will have the stature for judgment, the stature for government. And where it's going to start from is that they are going to have the stature of government over their own lives, to keep their bodies under. That's where they are going to start from. They are going to release their life ultimately to God. If they will be the ones to promote the kingdom in the earth, they are going to be governed. If they are going to describe the strength of God's kingdom, they are going to bring themselves under government. Personal government. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A man that has not control over his own soul is like a city broken into and left without wall. So the first thing God is going to teach us, which We also find in the life of Jesus is we have to wait personal government. And so we saw Jesus did that for 30 years. He had a private life for 30 years where he matured into an obedient son. How many of you know that God is not in a hurry to make you be a soul winner? If at all, he can win your soul first. Some of us think God is in a hurry to win you. If God is in a hurry to win the whole soul in this earth, we would have been on it for at least more than 2,000 years. We have been on it. God wants a soul fully recovered. He wants a soul fully saved. So it's not how you can really get people saved that is his concern. He wants to have you fully saved and roasted and kept. He wants you. So the matter of how much I've done for God is not really our basic concern now, but our basic concern is how much of you is given over to him. Hello? How much of you is given over to him? You see, the details of all these words we are using must be applicable to our lives as individuals. That's my passion in preaching. My passion in preaching is whatever I'm teaching that I cannot bring down to bits that can be absorbable for individual life, I feel I'm still disconnected. So, if we must come to Zion, we must understand that Zion is an expression of a body of government. And the people there are saviors. And so we have to take a savior, an example, and scrutinize a savior. So, the first savior we could scrutinize was who? Was who? Christ Jesus. So we have to x-ray his life. Like John x-rayed it. John said we saw him. We saw the word became flesh. And glory becomes visible. I tell people, if the word has really become flesh in you, there must be a visible glory. And the contents of the glory, when John was analyzing it, he said the content of the glory was full of grace and truth. The resemblance of the glory is that of the begotten of the Father. That means he made the Father available. Now, it is easy for us to talk Father now, but in their day, the Father was a big deal. Even outside our circle as Christians, this thing we are calling the Father is giving people headache. That's why some Jews and the Islamics will not even accept us. They said every other thing you have been saying is fine. But when you begin to talk about Father, God does not have children. That's where they get offended. And that's the core of God's purpose. That's where they miss it. They can accept Zion. They can accept the fact that it became the seat of government. And Solomon also took it to a point where it became the place of worship because the temple was built there. The temple was built there. It became the place of worship. So, they can accept all that because when you go to Israel and you go right to Zion, that elevated place, you find all kind of people coming there to pray. What is left is a wall. On top of where we pray is a big mosque, the third largest mosque in the world. The third largest. So the basement up is a big mosque. They are forgetting that the real essence of that place is not physical structure. The real essence of that place is actually a description. It's a mountain. It's almost 800 meters high. Mountain is talking about what? Elevation, elevated places. It's talking about we rising above the banal and the mundane and the low. And that's why every time God wants to describe spiritual experiences, He always describes with mountains. So you see scriptures like the one in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Let me just take us to one or two scriptures that describe this. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Can we quickly see that? So we can appreciate why Esau 2 is a mountain. It's an elevated system. But the Lord promised the mountain of the Lord shall be what? Established on top of mountains and exalt above hills. There are hills, there are elevations on the earth that are even not God elevations, like tires. There are elevations, there are mountains, there are systems that are ancient. One of the descriptions of the mountain is, it's an ancient structure. And another description of a mountain is also a fortress. In war seasons, mountains are a place of what? They are places of covering, a fortress for the people. Mountains are elevations. Mountains are dimensions that are higher than the low. Mountains are dependable heights for deliverance. That's why I said there are systems on earth today that are even not God. They are anti-God systems, but they are mountains. David said, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. He now said, from whence cometh my help? He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Not these hills. Because there are hills that are dependable for man to look onto. There are hills. There are mountains. There are systems. There are systems on earth. Even cultures that describe heights. That describe defense. That describe deliverance. On the earth. There are exalted places, systems within the earth that are found so dependable over years that is even making us not to look to Zion anymore. There are so many mountains. There are some that have captured our sight, our mind. And you know every one of us will be perplexed if within another few kilometers here we cannot find an health center. Everybody will be worried. Everybody will, because these are heights. These are hills. And they have been found dependable over years. So many people have been rescued from there. But the word of the Lord said, the mountain of the Lord will be exalted above them all. Hallelujah. Maybe in the evening we'll be able to see why the mountain of the Lord be exalted above all. But indeed there are heights. Some of them are contesting heights. They are contesting heights. There are hills. There are powers. There are religious heights. Some of them that men have depended upon over years. There are heights of national establishments, of nations. What's the name of that hill of the Edomites? Eh? Matsia. Matsia is an height. Like Zion is an elevation. And God chooses hills to describe potency, fortress, strength, deliverance, salvation. But the ultimate superior height above all height at the end of the day will be what? Mount Zion. Hallelujah. And it's a place of dwelling. It's a dwelling place. Like we saw in 67 of Psalm. It's a dwelling place. It's a place of our fellowship, of our sharing. Amen and hallelujah. It's a place of our sharing. It's a place of experience. I said something very beautiful the other time. Man is the only being that has the capacity to operate both its humanness and its spirituality. So that's why we can say we have come to Zion. In the description of the writer of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, it says we have come to Zion. I can be here and I have a place of conversation in the height of mountains. That my operation is not here, even though I'm here. I am operating from an elevated dimension. My wisdom is not from here. My wisdom is superior to here because I'm operating from elevated dimension. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. I so much love that dimension of man's life that we have the capacity, and I'm aware of that. One of my sisters told me recently, I said, Pastor, please pray for me. I said, what happened? He said, while I was sleeping yesterday, somebody brought food. When the person was going, he took the food pass. And he didn't offer us food. I said, my friend, when she was coming back, I now offered us the food. And we reached forth for the food. And immediately I jumped up. I said, Father, help me, oh. I didn't even remember whether I hate it. I said, if you hate it, Inko. I said, sit down, let me show you scripture. When Elijah fell asleep, angel brought food. He said, eat. You have to eat. And drink. For the journey is far. He ate spiritual food because he was in a place where there can't be food. So there was supply in the spirit. We are spiritual beings too. There was supply for him in the spirit. So he ate and he began to walk the journey on the strength of that food. So she calmed down. I said, it is the superstition that you have from the Yoruba land that is getting you worried. That anytime you eat in your dream, it means even God himself has presented food in the dream before to Peter. In fact, the food he presented to Peter was a forbidden food. Oh my God. But Peter had a spiritual catch-up that was still operating discernment even in his sleep. Do you love that dimension of life? That's why I think about dreams a lot, because your dreams are things you should take note of. Spiritual people here, you have been taught so much that you ignore. Who is blind but my servant? Seeing many things, but he observes not. Some of us are blind because we cannot decode signs around our life. One of the best places to find out the expression of your life is in your dream. Your dream is the best way to describe your subconscious. When you are asleep, whatever you do there is your real state. Your subconscious is your real state. Peter was given food. He was negotiating in his subconscious. He said, no. Even so, he identified he was the Lord. Oh my God. You don't understand that. He didn't say, this is Satan. No. This is Satan. I bind you. He said, not Lord. Not so, Lord. He could identify God in that dream, but he was arguing with God. I love that touch of. That's the stature of a man that has weight. He was discussing with his father. Is that not so, Lord? I have never taken anything that is unclean in my life. And God said, you, what do you know that is unclean? Some of you, when they bring a camel, you don't have a choice. You just be gurgling it. You can't ask questions in your subconscious. I tell people, when I see people who are confused, one of the things I ask them is, do you dream? Most of them don't even remember their dreams. If you are here, you don't remember your dream. I'll pray for you today. They just say, Moko Jesu la no moko ri. Moko wano yibu. Moto ti wankeja. Moko ri kwebo tu devi. Moko wano moto moto ebo sari o sari o sari. O prinso ko foja devi. When you tell me your dream, I'll tell you who you are. I'll tell you where you are. I'll tell you your post. I'll tell you your state. I sing from my dream. I will sing. I will sing the song. I will sing it. I've never heard it before. I will be singing it. Those are operations of a soul that is settling. Let me God just give me that privilege to speak to you in that line. When a truth is getting established in you, it is in your subconscious. You know why you just sat down now, like not checking whether you fall down? Because you know, this seat has four hands. And you are so sure, it's already in your subconscious. Some of you just came and just, you just sat comfortably. You didn't even bother yourself. But look, if I say by the anointing, this thing has three legs. The rabba shata. They are come and sit down and say, Pastor Boyake Okonjokuna. Why? Because you know there is a knowledge in your subconscious that cannot doubt that. That's where the word of God arrives at and it becomes truth to you. When it arrives at the place where it is the first thing you respond with when you are touched. Some of you, you know malaria. You don't even need to go and check your blood. They say, how do I say motuti feni malaria? Eva mira malagzin. You know what to do because it's already registered in your subconscious. Even though you also know scriptures about healing. But you know one more than the other. Which one do you know more? The one that is in your reflex. It's a default. You just respond. You just know what to do. You have seen that time enough times. So when you are coming from work, you say, please, honey, don't let me forget to get Maloxine so that I can just clear this malaria out. And truly, by the time you take it for 3 days, the malaria is gone. So it is giving you more confidence in that order. But when they ask you in church, is there healing? You say, yes. There's healing, though. And health in the Lord. For he said, by stripes. But is it applicable to your life? No. Why? Because there is a knowledge that is exalted. And it's seated. Some of us think scripture, anointing, is for preaching. No, it's for living. It's for living. That's how we become saviors. That's how we will begin to show these mountains an alternative lifestyle that is superior to their experience. It's not just by preaching. There is a way you will live in your office that you begin to judge Esau. In your classroom. In your family. In your clan. That every one of them will have to wait for you to come before they take decisions. Because they know you have superior wisdom. They know that the things that will come from you are weighty. And they are going to bring deliverance. So the practice of intimacy with God is eventually going to turn out to make us saviors. And it will foster the kingdom on earth.
Hallelujah.
It will what? It will foster the kingdom on earth. These are the things God has called us to this weekend. I seriously have an impression in my heart that every one of us that are unstable in the inward man, God will visit us this weekend.
Amen.
Some of us are just in that place of instability in our inside. You have heard so much of the scriptures, but you can't give expression to any. Your life is as confused as ever. But yes, can you talk the word? Yes, you can talk the word. Yes, do you attend meetings? Yes, you attend meetings. Do you have a clear perspective of where God is leading you? No, sir. Deliverers are people that are delivered. Some of you don't go to deliverance meetings again. But in your heart, you envy the deliverance meeting. Wave your hand. You agree with me. Some of you, you said, we don't do all this. We are past that level. But when you sit down, and the enemy wants to really engage you, tell you, you are my day. Show you only the deliverance by. Because in your inward man, you have not been truly settled. There are issues, so many unresolved issues. As I speak to you, I look at different faces here. There are issues. There are issues. You just cope by going to meetings. You don't understand? You cope. Each meeting just gives you some false security. False security. You know in your inward man that you are not settled. You can't really find a place. One of my daughters came to me recently and said, I just stopped praying. I said, why? He said, I just discovered that all this while I said, I'm not even sure the praying I'm doing is praying. I said, why? He said, I am not sure. I am not just sure of anything. And I said, God bless you, at least for being sincere. Sincerity brings you closer to truth. For being sincere, so don't worry, we'll take it up from here. So we have to start talking. Now, in order for God to raise men who are going to be saviors, they have to have experiences that are valid. Valid experiences that they are sure and certain of. They have to have established their hearts in belief in the Lord. Their hearts must have been settled. Their walk with the Lord must have been sure. We have seen so many levels of conquest that describe Zion. Before he got to Zion, so many levels of conquest. Before he got to Zion and they took the land of the Jebusites. And believe you me, by nature, apostolic people are also territorial. Territorial in terms of geography, territorial in terms of spiritual access. There are different levels of warfare you will go through in life. They have different natures. There are different levels of crossings you will do between Egypt and the promised land. There will be the Red Sea. There will be the ultimate Jordan. There are different levels of experiences that you will go through in order for you to get thoroughly settled. And God is ready to help you and process you and help you to journey. Because ultimately you become his government in the earth. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. You are going to be the carriers of that government. Because it will have established government in your own life. He would have established government in your own life. And the first pathway that we saw in David is intimacy. That's why David is the description of the path that Christ came with. Everything that made David profound was embedded in his intimacy with God. His readiness to obey. His yieldedness. His desire for his house. And for the presence of the Lord. And I am asking this weekend that God will bath fresh hungers in our hearts. That will make us locate life from the secret place. That will make us find a personal reality with God. Very personal. Very personal. Very personal that no man can take away. There are certain experiences that is peculiar. It is the experience of father to son. It is the experience of aroma, romance. It is the experience of personal dealings. And it cumulates into a stature that is weighty, that it can be called that of the sons. Hallelujah. And that's where what God wants to take you through. And if there is anyone among you that have lost that compass, you will recover it this weekend. I'm not here to steer you in another realm of theology, but I'm here to steer you into another realm of experience of your Father. Of your Father. Some of you are going to get your interest in the word of the Lord revived. Revived. So that you will carry the word of the Lord in your heart. And you will know how to relate with the word of the Lord. For you would have known the word of the Lord by first-hand experience. Hallelujah. 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 So that you'll be able to say, like David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me. You will live in a consciousness of presence. 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 Our last trip to the north, the missions, I had a dream. In that dream, it was a caution. We were going and the Boko Haram guys began to fire at the bus we took. And I had already said to go. So I called my friend, Pastor Kotila. I said, they fired the bus, but I'm going. And he said, check your spirit. I said, I've checked long ago. I'm going. I just knew that one we're going, we were going to be extra sensitive. Are really prayerful to know how to move. Because I knew my time was not up. Even though it was going to be up, I knew it was not for Boko Haram to take my life. I knew. I was sure. So when we were going, I just raised the antenna. And the enemy was trying to fight me with those angles of, what about if they come now? You know, funny enough, the bus that was waiting for us was exactly the bus that I saw in the dream. It was white. I was sitting in front. Everything was looking like this. I said, the only one that will not look like it is that they won't find me. Saviors are people whose testimonies will be valid for another generation. Their testimonies will be valid for another generation. The concept of walking with God will be what another generation can look at. And they will say, yes, we are encouraged. And we can live because he lives. Hallelujah. We are believing God to give you personal identity with altars. We are believing God, you become the fire that Obadiah talks about that will consume Esau. And the fire is the element of his presence. And that's the only place where you can get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're trusting God that some concern that is birthed from the womb of the Spirit will begin to drop in your soul. To live differently. To live differently. To have a different hunger. Jesus said to that woman, he said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again, but I have another one. That if you drink of it, you will not thirst again. He wanted the shift. He wanted a shift in the hunger in that woman's soul. And that must happen to us. He wanted a shift. There must be a shift. He said, why do you labor for that which satisfies not? There must be a shift, people of God. And we believe God for that today. I believe by this evening, when we begin to pray more, something spiritual and that is fresh begins to happen to you. That you begin to navigate in the spirit. A time is coming that there will be no other sure means of living than by the help of the Spirit. Rise on your feet. Every one of you that the enemy is taking advantage of your liturgy and you are in a position where you are not just sure of yourself. That's what I'm hearing. That the Lord will give you recovery today. That an entrance be ministered unto you again into his very presence. Now we come to your secret place, and we enter to the most holy place. Now we come to your secret place, and we enter the most holy place. We've come to see you, Yahweh. We've come to touch you, Yahweh. As we enter the most holy place. We've come to see you, Yahweh. We've come to touch you, Yahweh. As we enter the most holy place,
the most holy place,
we've come to see you, Yahweh. We've come to touch you, Yahweh.
As we enter
the most holy place,
the most holy place,
we've come to see you, Yahweh.
We've come to see you, Yahweh.
We've come to touch you, Yahweh.
The most holy place.
So we come
to
your secret place.
Father.
The most holy place.
So we come
to your secret place, and we enter the most holy place.
So we come
to your secret place. And we enter the most holy place.
We come to sing you, Yahweh. We touch you, Yahweh.
As we enter the most holy place.
We come to sing you, Yahweh.
We come to touch you, Yahweh.
How we enter
the most holy place.
So we come to your secret place.
And we enter the most holy place.
Now we come
to your secret place. We enter the holy place.
Now we pass,
oh Lord, to your secret place, and we enter the holy place.
Now we come
to your secret place.
We come to see you, Yahweh.
We come to touch you, Yahweh. And we enter the Lord.
So we come to your secret place. And we enter
your most holy.
Now we come to your secret place.
And we enter
upon this mountain. The Lord will make a feast. A feast of partings. A feast of wines upon the leaves. A feast of wine well defined. A feast of partings full of marrow. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Your first possession is the clarity of His purpose for you. That's your possession. Your first possession is discovering yourself in Him. That's your possession. Dabawa miri, ora mi padao, otu mi se o, o sa mi damo.
Baba wa mi ri o ra mi pada o o tun mi se o o so mi lo mo Christi wa mi ri o ra mi pada o tun mi se o Iye, mori ye o, mori ye o, iya idi pegu. Iye, mori ye o, mori ye o. Baba wa mi ri o ra mi pada o tun mi se o ka mi da Baba wa mi ri o ra mi pada o tun mi se Iye, mori ye o, mo ti ri e gba o, iya eni ka mi. Iye, mori ye o, mo ti ri e o.
Yeah.
many of us need to ask for a renewal. We need to ask for our strength to be renewed. To give power to the faith. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We have come to a place where so many of us need to renew our strength. Tell the Lord, I can't do it on my own. Can we repent of the hardness of our hearts if we have to? Can we say, Lord, by your grace and your help, we drop the things you will have us to drop and leave behind. Some of us need to ask the Lord to give us a fresh beginning. A new beginning. A new beginning. A new beginning. Can we just be quiet while we close our eyes? For I heard the Lord say to me that even among us is the sin of Sodom. I heard the Lord say there is a call over this assembly, over many, for repentance. The sacrifices of God is a broken and a contrite spirit. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He said, a broken heart you will not despise. Some of us need to carry a heart of repentance from here home and begin to take decisions again. Some of us will have to cut ties. For the Lord says there are abominations of Sodom amongst us. There are abominable things in our hands. Even amongst us.
And for any of us that is getting tired and weak, this is a time for you to receive strength. That the journey is not making meaning again, this is a time to receive strength. For you are actually destined to be saviors. You are destined to be deliverers. This is a time to receive strength. Why don't you express yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you more than ever. Why don't you tell him exactly the way it is? Lay down the burdens. And receive renewal, the renewal of your strength. And receive help. For help is available in Mount Zion. There shall be deliverance. And holiness. Why don't we begin to negotiate new levels of consecration before the Lord? Why don't we begin to present our bodies, our minds again? Our bodies, our thoughts, our language, purified again. Our conversations. Why don't we begin to negotiate new levels of consecration? And say, Lord, clean hands are required for those who will come to the holy mountain. Pure heart is required for those who will come to the holy mountain. Why don't we let go bitterness? Taking away unforgiveness from our soul. Taking out every naughtiness. Every filthiness. Every hidden sin of shame. Taking it out by the help of the Spirit. And say, Lord, we lay our lives bare. That only you have a seat in our heart. Take the throne. Touch our lips. Cleanse us of false language. Of foul languages. Purify our thoughts. Take away the things, the desires that draw us away. Take it away. Take away the desires that draw us away. Take it away. Speak to your Father in passion. Take away the desires that draw us away. Take it away. We have become too familiar. So we are becoming unholy. We have become too familiar. We are too constant. We are religious. Lord, we don't want familiarity. We want intimacy. We want the fear of the Lord. We want to revere your name. I will be your name, oh God.
Emi ma se mo fe ku fe ara se ro mi lowo oluwa bi fere sinu okan mi o emi ma se mo fe ku fe ara se ro mi lowo oluwa bi fere tẹ́lẹ̀. Sínú ọkàn mi ò. Kèmi má ṣe mú fẹ́ kú fẹ́ àṣẹ.
We need to heighten our concentration this afternoon. And go home in that mood. If we must judge Esau, we must judge ourselves. So Paul said, he that judges me is the Lord. The way of judging ourselves is to expose ourselves to the scrutiny of the Spirit. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And he wants to make us judges, for the spiritual judges all things. Father, can you show some expression of gratitude to the Lord this afternoon? For there is a promise of renewal. Renewal in intimacy, in fellowship, in the joy of His presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We receive strength, Lord. Strength that only you can give. Renewal of strength. Let the clouds be taken away. Let darkness pass. Flood the heights of our hearts with light. Flood it with light. No dark corners. No dark spots. No dark spirits. All light. For your throne in our heart is light. Be more influential than ever over our soul. Gain total dominance. Take control. Do as you want. Let your word prevail. How many of you can feel the joy of the Holy Ghost? Just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.